I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 528. I can feel your anger through the internet. This is Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
That's good.
You have a good week. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing all right. I'm doing okie dokie. You know, good. I don't got much to complain about.
Well, good to hear, considering.
I mean, I could, but they're all first world problems, so I feel kind of bad complaining about them. I had to do a quick trip down to Miami. It was a drag because my flights got all messed up because of weather. But my flights got messed up because of weather.
At least you got out.
Right, I did. So. It was day delayed, but I did get out and I was able to do the event, and then it went off fine. And so I get to keep my job for at least another paycheck, which is always good. Because I really, really like those paychecks. And, you know, stuff like that. And then there was all kinds of kerfuffle coming home and ended up getting bounced off a flight. Actually, I got bounced off of 3 flights. And I wasn't sure that I was going to be able to make it home on my original date. So I was getting nervous about having to spend time extra
in the airport. I feel bad for some of our friends coming off of PAX East because some of them got stuck here in Beantown.
Yeah, for a couple of days.
Because of the weather.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it just messed up all kinds of stuff on the Eastern Seaboard, but, like I said, ultimately, made it down in time to do the event, I get to keep my job, finally did make it home, so just exhausted from, you know, PAX and then the work trip and all that kind of stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, but now you're done with work trips, right?
I am done for work trips until June, so
yay!
I actually get time back now to play games, guys. So there's a whole bunch of games talk about to come out of me. Yeah. And also show up on the website. Yeah. Yeah. So I'm back, bitches. Now that that's all done. But anyway, first of all, problems be damned. I got, you know, some game stuff I want to talk about today. One game in particular. Actually, your topic.
Is it Zelda?
No, it's not Zelda. I don't have a Switch yet. I am not one of the cool kids who got a Switch day one. I am more than likely going to get a Switch. I am more than likely trading in my Wii U to get it. And I've had a bunch of people like, no, don't trade in your Wii U. Just get one. And I'm like, dude, I have a Wii that's in a box that I haven't touched in years. I have a Wii U that is out, but I haven't touched in over a year, because the only time I turn it on is like, yeah, I want to play Bayonetta 2 again. Like, and that's it. Like, that's all I play on my Wii U. So, like, there's no reason for me to bring in yet another console, put another console in a box.
If you're hankering to get all Switchy because of Zelda, you can get Zelda for your Wii U.
Exactly. But here's the thing. I don't like... Ready? Here, I'm going to say it one more time. I don't like playing games on the Wii U. The gamepad controller is really uncomfortable to use with my small hands for long periods of time. And before you're like, oh, you get the Pro Controller. I got the Pro Controller. That controller is also uncomfortable for long periods of time. I don't enjoy gaming on the Wii U. Let me just flat out say it. So why would I keep a system that I don't enjoy? That makes no sense. I'd much rather trade it in, because let's be real. Zelda's probably, outside of games that were in the pipeline for the last 2 years, Zelda's probably the last new game that is going to be developed for the Wii U. So it's not like new games are going to be coming out on the Wii U in droves that are going to change my mind, right?
Right. Because
all the third-party guys are going to be focused on the Switch.
You're right.
So there's reason for me, I'm not saying for other people, I'm saying for me, to keep the Wii U, when it's just a platform I just don't enjoy. So I'm going to trade it in. I don't care that it'll eventually become a collector's item. I'm not a collector like that. I'm going to trade it in, get some money knocked off, and I'll get a Switch. Because, you know, the Zelda game does look fantastic. And ultimately, you know, there are going to be, I think, more games that I'm going to want to play on the Switch than there were that I wanted to play on the Wii U. Like, I like watching people competitively play Splatoon. It is not a game that I would buy for me.
Man, Splatoon is fun, though. So, like, I'm looking forward to Splatoon 2. But I got really into it. Like, it's the only amiibo I have is of the Squid Girl. Like, that's how committed I am to it.
I did buy Twilight Princess, the special edition that came with the amiibo, with Link riding the wolf that had the remaster, the updated, whatever you want to call it, version of Twilight Princess to play on the Wii U. Never took it out of the box.
Oh.
It is on the box on my mantle, looking gorgeous. It will more than likely never come out of that box. I said, I'm not a huge collector, but there are some pieces where I'm like, nope.
Oh, I know better.
And also, nope. Senorita opened up all my Barbies. Anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, those holiday Barbies. And you don't want to know what the first edition one mint inbox went at auction.
Nope, I don't, because I'll feel like I'll feel bad.
Yep, because I could have chopped your student loan in half with that doll.
You wouldn't have, though.
You don't know that.
I do. It's okay, though.
You'd be like, I could be magnanimous.
What I could do.
Don't guess be like that. I've paid your bills. Don't be like that. I've paid some of your bills.
You've helped. Yes, I know.
Okay, all right, moving right along. So let's talk about game stuff, because this is what happens when it's been a week since you and I have talked to each other.
The last time we saw each other was at PAX East.
Correct. It's been a week. Like I said. Anywho, there's been a lot of stuff going on in games, guys. You know, more and more things are coming out of PAX East. And, you know, as we are heading into, you know, Prime season and a bunch of other cons that are going off, comic and otherwise, a bunch of cosplay conventions happening. There's so much news going around. I picked Mass Effect Andromeda to talk about because we've talked about it a little bit. Especially after we watched the trailer and both you and I kind of had the reaction of, guys, our hype has come down a little bit because this doesn't seem right. This doesn't seem right. I know it's something not supposed to be off. About the shepherd, but something
it's
ain't
a
right.
Little, it's a little uncomfortable. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about it.
So I went back and forth on whether or not I was going to jump on the bandwagon. And so I figured the best way... You know, the thing that I always say is you really ought to try something before you formulate a final opinion about it. It's only the fair way to do it. You shouldn't base your opinions of things off of trailers and marketing materials because all those things are cut to make it look sexy, to make hype happen, right? You really got to get hands-on to make a decision. So I decided to try EA Access, which is EA's monthly subscription service that gives you access to their games. So you can, you know, for as long as you have the subscription, check out a game, try it, play it for some time, and if you decide that you like it, you can actually purchase it at like a 10% discount through EA Access, or just for as long as that title exists in the vault of EA Access, you can play it. It's only like $5 a month. So I was like, you know what, I'll try it because the trial, which gives you early access this month, one of the games that they put out there was, in fact, Mass Effect Andromeda. So I thought, you know what, this is the way that I can try Andromeda really for me and find out if it's all that it's cracked up to be, right?
Right.
Right. Started the trial, it did the download, basically gives you 10 hours of play in the game, so plenty of time to... really run around a game and figure out, like, do you like it or not? It's not like it's 2 hours, because let's face it, we've all been in games where, like, the first two levels are like, meh, and then you get into the rest of the game and it's like, holy balls, who knew this game was so good? Or vice versa. The first two levels are great, and then you get into the rest of the game and you're like, okay, it's all rinse and repeat. This is no fun.
You get into a game and it's great all the way through until one chapter that fucks everything up, and then you're like, don't want to even finish playing it. I'm looking at you, Final Fantasy 15. I am not, so mad.
Not naming any names or anything, but...
I was adamant. I'm like, I'm going to complete this. I'm going to get all the royal arms. I'm going to collect all the things. And then chapter 13 happened, and I haven't touched it since. I don't care if Noctis saves the day. Fuck that universe.
Wow. That's guys, that's big. For you to not finish a Final Fantasy game.
And I'm like really close right now. Like the fact, like I'm past the chapter. I'm in 14. I'm like, I can't. I'm like, that chapter sucked so much. It sucked all the joy I was having. So like, I can't even go and have Ignis make me a new recipe because I'm just so over it. Because that chapter just sucked.
See, that's how I felt about Bloodborne. Like, I just kept getting beat so badly. And I was just like,
that's
I can't.
That's not even it.
I cannot.
Because that's a constant throughout that universe. So you know you're going into it knowing you're going to get punished, but you're going to feel so much more accomplished when you succeed. This is not what Final Fantasy XV did. It established a system. It was open world. You could practically go wherever. I mean, granted, if you walked and you were level 5 and you met up with a level 30, get the fuck out. But, like, you could go wherever. And then for one chapter, like, you know what? We're gonna take away all your shit so you don't have access to any of your weapons. None of them. You don't have access to your royal godly
power. Oh, that's like the
happy
birthday level in Resident Evil. And all your shit, like, really, you can't have anything. Don't feel
no, like not. It's not even the way that Resident Evil 7 started, where you're put in a situation, you have no weapons, you have no means to defend yourself, is kind of what happens in this chapter in Final Fantasy 15. Except, long story short, you have a ring in your possession the entire game. It was your dad's ring, your girlfriend who I'm not sure if you actually really dig, because I think you totally dig one of the three dudes that you're traveling with, but whatever. And you haven't put this ring on, and apparently this ring has, like, ultimate fucking power. And, like, it's the only thing you have because you've had it tucked under your shirt because no one decided to strip search you before they dumped you in this place. And you decide you're going to wear this ring now and kind of, like, really be king. Like, it's when Simba's, like, all grown up and, like, has had the talk with, like, Ghost Dad, sort of. You put this ring on, and it's like, you have these three abilities. These are the only things that you can do to, like, defend yourself. Granted, they're super powerful, but, like, you've not built up this ring. You don't really know how it works. So you're kind of fumbling to figure it out. But you're in a narrow corridor. Like, you're literally going from floor to floor in this narrow corridor. And I think I played this. It took me, like, 30 minutes to get through the chapter. And it was the most grueling 30 minutes. And then they're like, oh, we turned this thing back on. You have your royal arms again. And then I never touched the ring again. Why give me this ultimate power now? Now, like, why now? Now. Sorry, no. I'm like, no. Nope, Noctis. Sorry, your wife, your girlfriend's dead. You didn't even get to marry her. Your dad's dead. Like, Prompto's not real. Spoilers, he's a clone. Ow! Yeah. And then he's all emo and shit about not being, you know, real. Like, now you have to deal with mopey Prompto. And, like, Gladius is just, like, I'm a shield, I'm not really a person, and Ignis is fucking blind, because you fucked him up. And I'm just like, I could not prescribe to this reality right now. Sorry, Noctis. Sorry, everybody.
You mean subscribe to that reality?
Oh my, nope. Unsubscribed, unliked, moving on. And I feel bad, because, like, I want to go back and complete it, but I'm just so...
I've never heard you talk about not completing a Final Fantasy game because...
Especially when I'm this...
Like, the last one that you didn't finish is because you didn't keep meticulous notes about timelines and crap, and so...
Yes, that was Final Fantasy 13 too, because you had to deal with paradoxes and shit. And I forgot what I was doing. I did not take notes after the last paradox I did, so I don't remember what I was trying to shift. So there's no point in going back to that game because I really would have to start over to rebuild the paradoxes to do what I want it to do. So, yes, the last time, did it again. Final Fantasy fucked my expectations again. And I let it. I let it because you gave me four hot boys to look at, all emo in their own way.
Yeah, I just watched the anime movie, the Brotherhood thing, and I was like, all right, I'm good.
And they expected you to have watched that before you played 15. So you what was going on in the universe. And I didn't do that. I also didn't play Kingsglaive, so, like, there's this other little subplot I have no fucking idea matters. And now...
Why didn't you play Kingsglaive, though?
I didn't play it.
I know and you then, didn't. I'm asking why.
I was like, I don't know.
You of the Final Fantasy...
Like, I know. I didn't play it. And then, because, you know, like I said, I was a completionist, and, like, after that chapter, I was like, I only have one more Royal Arms to go, and, like, I will be happy with, like, my gold trophy for getting all these fuckers. And the last freaking dungeon, one, you can only go into it at night, and you can only move through doorways while it's night. So if you're in there until 6 a.m., well, you gotta wait until fucking 8 p.m. for shit to allow you to move through it. So, like, it is not, like, oh, it is so infuriating. It's so crap. It's the crappiest crap, and it's not even the best fucking weapon in the game, which I'm like, why would I subject myself to this? It's not even the Boom Fatty, which I already got. It's the fucking ring that I've had since my dad died. Like, I've had it all along. I hate it!
But maybe it was about the journey to you on the path to getting the thing you already have. You know, maybe it was a spiritual lesson that it wanted to teach.
You know what? They did a horrible job of making... Sorry. No. Because if they wanted to do that right, you know what they would have done? You get the ring, and actually you don't get it when your dad dies. You get it when your girlfriend dies, because she gives it to you in, like, a weird dream state thing that you can go into that they don't properly talk about ever.
Maybe, like, it's explained in the movie?
Hey, I'm Noctis, and my godly power is I can actually transcend time and space. So if I don't want to live in this reality, I can just talk to my cool black dog, Umbreth, and he will take me to the path.
His name is Noctis.
His name is Noctis Loomis. His name is fucking Nightlight.
Exactly.
Nightlight!
His name is Nightlight.
Nightlight! And it's just like, no. Because if they wanted to do this right, and they could have, they had all the time in the world to do this right. After bitchy McLight bitch sacrifices herself and the fucking guy who's, like, completely the Seymour of this game stabs her and you get the ring and, like, your little dream and whatever, you should have been hit with several more dreams about, you know, wearing this ring and what this ring could have possibly done. So that when you turned it on, you had a better, it's like Rey. It's like Rey in the 7th Star Wars movie who could all of a sudden kind of use the Force but didn't really know she was using the, like, she, like, started playing around and thinking she could manipulate people's minds, and oh yeah, I could totally do that because I'm like a Jedi. Spoiler if you didn't figure that out. But I'm like, like, it's just no. My brain hurts.
But
anyway,
how do you really feel about
it's so bad. It's just.
I feel like I kicked a hornet's nest and I didn't know
God.
It was
buzz,
there.
Buzz. Like, my brain hurts now. That rage has been sitting really deep in my
I could tell.
Just bubbling up slowly. Word vomit. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm not in the right mind.
No, you're in the right mind. I mean, me, I really, after I watched the movie, I was like, I'm not really into this, because this was the Final Fantasy that I thought I was going to have a shot at playing, because,
like,
I prefer...
It has a lot of stuff that you would like.
I like
action. But then
action.
They fuck it in the butt with no lube on a Tuesday, and you don't even get tacos afterwards.
That's not right.
No. No, it is not.
Right.
It is
you
not right.
You always get tacos after.
Or before, but no pre-tacos. No pre-tacos, no during tacos, no
tacos.
End tacos.
Thanks so much for that.
Well, thank Final Fantasy 15 for not giving you tacos.
I really thought that Final Fantasy 15 was going to be the one that I played because it is an action RPG out of all the ones. Because, see, I remember when it was part of the 13 trilogy, because there were going to be the three pieces of 13. And the action RPG was going to be the last one. And then because the 13s didn't do well.
Fucked up so bad.
They were like, hey guys, real quick, we're going to take some more time with this one over here, and it's actually not going to be part of this series over here. It's going to be a whole new thing over here, and here's, like, a little teaser, and just trust us. And my heart went, well, thank God, because you were pissed at 13. I've never seen you pissed at Final Fantasy before. We had many episodes where you just went off on Lightning.
So, I mean, like,
And so I was like, all right, well, I'll wait for the game to come out because, again, I try not to make decisions about stuff until I get hands-on or I experience them in some way, whether that's at a show or at somebody else's house or, you know, if it's one of the rare, rare unicorns that releases a demo anymore. Anybody remember game demos? Remember you could demo a game and then, you know, because they would put out, like, a level or a piece of a level before a game came out as the hype thing and to get people interested in buying their games. Remember when they used to do that? Now nobody puts out demos anymore.
That's right.
Remember that? Yeah. I remember. I really waited until I was able to try it at, I want to say that it was E3. They had it on the show floor. They had a level that you could play. And it really was, as much as a playable, the level, it was you riding in the car. And you could get out and just explore stuff. So, like, if you ran into an enemy, you had to, like, work really hard to get to an enemy. But it basically was just a, we want to show off how badass our platform is and how good this game looks. So jump in the car and ride with your bros. So I really didn't understand what the dynamic was because you were so far into the game when that ride happened.
You're constantly riding in the Regalia.
And so I'm just like, okay.
Here's what they should have done with that.
Like, literally, because I'm going through this demo and I'm like, in my head, I'm going, riding around in my automobile. Like, I'm not connected.
And the funny fucking thing about the whole Regalia is, like, it's like the car. It's like the Popemobile in this game. Like, everyone's like, man, the Regalia. And not just like, I didn't really want to go in, like, all this, like, pomp and circumstance. Bitch, it's one car for one. It's a cool car. But it's not like you have, like, this motorcade bringing you to you know, Tenenbra. Like, you're in the car with three of your bros. Like, and then in the opening segment, it breaks down. It breaks down, and you have to push it because you're a plebeian now. Not that you know that, because at the time that all this is happening, this is when your dad's getting murdered. But anyway, you're a plebeian now on the run because someone's trying to murder you to take your shit. And you have to ascend to greatness. By the way, there's a wifey you need to get to. Oh, she dead now. Fuck. And
I think that's the best game review you've ever done.
I just
do all game reviews like this from now on.
Oh my god. Like, and I feel really bad because, like, I believed in this game. Like, I believed it was gonna address, and it addressed a lot of big issues that happened in 13. Like, it did. But then it was like, hey, guys, remember 13? And we're all like, no. And then, like, they did that one level. And it's just like, you know, bend over and take it. And we all do because we paid that $60. We paid for that rape. We paid for it. And then we had to do the whole Cup of Noodles quest. Don't even get me started with Cup of Noodles.
Hey, Cup of Noodle paid a lot of money for that
placement.
Money
for that product placement.
Okay. And hey,
it doesn't even
hold up. Ain't nothing wrong with Cup Noodle. It'll do in a pinch.
It'll do.
Cup Noodle did not pay for that product sponsorship.
I think after the show, you should go onto YouTube and find people who've done all three, because there's three different ways that quest can go. Because you decide what the ultimate ingredient to, like, enhance the flavor of
chicken.
The cup noodle is.
It's always chicken. Cup noodle.
It could be, you have the choice of meat, fish, or, like, a veg. So you don't even get to put chicken in it.
Wait, how you not put chicken in a cup noodle?
I mean, I said meat, because, you know, meat. I like meat in my mouth, like, all the time.
Okay, look.
And then I had to go and fight a fucking giant behemoth, like, this huge fucking rhinoceros behemoth sphinx fusion thing, just to get, like, one slice of steak. And that's another thing that I can't stand with these fucking drop rates. Like, they're like, oh, go kill this thing to go get, like, its feathers. It's a giant bird, right? It's covered in feathers. But because drop rates, and we've talked about drop rates, we did it on the show last week when I got really pissed about Blizzard's drop rate.
Yeah.
But you know what happened, right?
Yeah.
I had to do this quest, like, 20 times to finally get this fucking bird to give me its feathers that it is covered in. It is covered in feathers. I could just pull a few out and not even kill it, but no. No, they want you to kill it. And even then, you're not going to get exactly what you want. I have all these birds' drumsticks that I ate because they were delicious, but I want your goddamn feathers. Give me the most obvious thing. Like, I can't. I can't process why this is okay.
Because Square Enix.
I can't. Like, it's like, oh, you're killing a skeleton. You need, it's like leg bone. You clearly see it walking on its leg bone. You see it on the sprite. He has it. Just give me the damn bone.
No, give it to me. Get a skull. I can feel your anger through the internet.
It's just seeping out of me like this dark ooze, like a dark evil slug ooze, just seeping out of my feet. Maybe it's just because I'm getting old and I just don't have time for this shit.
Ain't nobody got time for that. But anyway, the reason why I brought it up was because, you know, I really thought that 15 was going to be the game that I jumped into because Square was just taking so fucking long with the Kingdom Hearts game that I really
They
feel...
still are. They just released 2.8. Are you fucking kidding me?
I know.
Square Enix, come the fuck on.
I know. We were just talking about that shit.
And 2.8 is just like a new reported version of like Death by Sleep Distance.
And then
a 2-hour experience. Of the new experience that you will get in 10 years from now.
Like, you will have children by the time Kingdom Hearts.
And by that time, they'll be like, Mom, what are video games? They're the devil, don't touch them. They will look gorgeous, they will whisper sweet nothings in your ear, and then they'll give you a 0.0006 drop rate.
They will teach you of hope and then crush it and marvel in your despair.
Do you love puppies?
Not if you play video games. They die a lot in video games.
I will teach my kids.
That's right. You're going to learn them. You're going to make them play Last of Us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. But that's the reason why I thought, you know, all right, 15 is probably going to be the Final Fantasy that I end up playing because at least it's action RPG because, you know, Square may never come out with 3. They may just keep, like, I full on expect now that we'll probably get 2.9997.
Oh my god, if they freaking do like 2.8,
it'll be Dream Drop
and a half
distance.
Remix Bubble Drop Fresh
HD
beat.
Remix HD.
I will
and this time it'll be on the Switch.
And the storyline is just so convoluted at this point.
I can't follow it. I was following up to Dream Drop Distance, and I'm just like, go to
Smosh Games and go to Honest Games and look at their review for 2.8 Remix HD, whatever the fuck, because literally in that whole review, they discuss in the best detail exactly what the plot line is. They can fill in the gaps that you are missing. Because I watched it and said, oh, so the Keyblade, while it's powerful, isn't the only Keyblade. And now there's like 7 Keyblade Masters that all need to do this thing to unlock the worlds. And now
those were prequels, so actually there's always been 7 Keyblade Masters.
Right,
we only knew about one. Like, again, you start going
We knew two. We knew Sora and we knew Mickey. We've always known 2. Right. But we weren't thinking that Mickey was really 1. And so they're like, by the way, there's 7. And there's one who's like in the Shadow Realm and she's like a chick. And like we've kind of seen hints of her, but we didn't know who she was. Oh, by the way, Xehanort like cloned himself a billion fucking times. Like all the times. Like we thought the Horcruxes were bad. Xehanort and Voldemort need to be best fucking friends.
No, they can't be best friends because we'll have Horcruxes on Horcruxes on Horcruxes.
But oh my god! Like, and I feel so bad for this franchise because like that simple premise that they gave us. Was like so pure Disney, like it was great.
Right, from 1 to 2 was like perfect. I didn't need Dream Drop Distance, and I didn't need what was the other one?
I don't need Pokemon in my Square Enix. Okay, Birth by Sleep or was it 358 over fucking 2 days or whatever the fuck?
Oh yeah, 358 over 2 days. Oh,
because
God.
It's like, hey, I'm Axel. I'm that really cool guy who was like part of like the bad guys, but now I'm like. Nothing, and I'm like all I'm all like questioning my existence.
Tapped out.
By the way,
tapped out. Just stop making all of these little things and just focus on getting three out, because I just want to ignore everything that happened between two and three. Like, in my world, it's one, two, fucking three. Like, no. Just no things.
I just want three to come out.
I
want to go back to the Peter Pan level so I can just fly around.
I just
need the best fucking thing.
Hikaru Utena song. Theme song, please.
I want Kairi and Sora to just bang. Like, I want it to just be a sex game. Because they think the world. Now they can bang.
I don't necessarily need that. That's not what I need.
No, what I need. I need them to save the world. I need them to bang like they do at the end of, like, the Fifth Element. And as the credits are rolling, some guy sneak into my house to present me sausage. That is what I need for this series to resonate with me as a person now.
I need to be served
big logs of sausage.
I think
and a cigar, and I don't even fucking smoke.
Truth. Damn. Okay, so anyway, since three is, I don't know, something.
Never coming.
We can't say that, okay? We thought that about Last Guardian, and then, Last
then
Guardian
it showed
happened.
Up and, then,
and guess
yeah.
what? Last Guardian, not bad. Not bad.
Was it great, though?
It was good.
Was it, though?
It was. Like,
really?
I cried like a bitch.
Okay, well, I mean, yes, narrative-wise, was that. But really, though?
Yeah. I thought it was good. I didn't think it was great, but it was good. You gotta remember, okay, a good game, one, should be within your skill set to play. Two, should have a good story, a good narrative. Yes. Okay, three, should have consistent controls. And four, should have consistent level play. Okay,
so
there were no levels.
Three of those, I completely green checkmark. One of those is like a faded green into like a yellow.
And that's why it's a good game and not a great game. Because a great game excels at all those things. Anyway,
we're supposed to talk about Final Fantasy.
I'm getting
there. We're supposed to talk about BioWare and Andromeda.
But we have to talk about Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts.
Do we?
To get to Andromeda, okay? Because remember the hype. See, this is how it comes all around. Remember the hype for Final Fantasy 15, right? When Square Enix took it on, okay, it was this big, long, massive world, and it was this open experience, you know, more open than any final.
It's not even done.
Hold on, let me finish.
It makes me very emotional.
I know, but let me finish, right? But you remember, like, the most open Final Fantasy game ever. You know, really, the experience is all up to you. And this is our way of, you know, kind of, frankly, rebooting things after the last experience didn't go over so well. Okay? Very similar to Andromeda, right? Mass Effect 3, which I will argue anyone, any day, is probably the best Mass Effect game in the series. In the series. Okay. Also, hyped beyond all hype right before it came out. Balanced gameplay all the way through, I thought. Okay, story. Elusive man, what the fuck? But okay. Get to the ending, and then the community loses and has a shit fit because they don't like the ending. Developers go back in and make the ending that the community likes, which, you know, you and I discussed multiple times about whether or not they should have or not. Okay?
Right.
So then BioWare kind of walks away from it for a little bit. And we're all like, yo, BioWare, no, don't do that. Don't do that. We love your shit. Come back. We need more Mass Effect. Like, this thing's still living and spinning, and look at all this cosplay, and I've seen more phenomenal Samaras in, like, the world. Like, don't go away. Then they announce Andromeda, and we're all like, oh, yeah, more Mass Effect, what's up? And many people, you know.
Sorry, I would like more Dragon Age, BioWare. Dragon Age, please.
I'm sure you're going to get your Dragon Age. Don't you worry, girl.
I know.
Okay, but, like, the Mass Effecties, okay, like, yeah, Andromeda, la, 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 la. And before the details started coming out, they're like, so how are you bringing Shepard back? Because, like, really and truly, Shepard was obliterated at the end of 3, so, like, this is not even, like, 1 to 2, like, oh, you're back. You really kind of got to do something special. Like, nope, guys. This is going to be completely away from that universe and the no Shepard. Shepard's going to be, you know, historic lore, if at all, mentioned in this game. And everyone was like, don't know how I feel about that. Because a lot of people have a massive connection to Shepard in the games. But still was like, wait and see. And then we started seeing some of the screens and some of the gear, and it very much felt like Mass Effect, so the world was coming back. And there have been some people who have had early access to the game that have been sharing some things on the web and really casting the game in a negative light. You know, I've seen stuff talking about animations being real shitty looking and characters feeling like they were put together really haphazardly and gameplay not feeling like Mass Effect at all. So I had a lot of concerns about the game. And it's why I'm really glad that I did the trial through EA Access. So, like I said, jumped in, and you start with character creation. I have not touched the multiplayer yet, and I'm just very newly into the gameplay. So I want to state, before I go real heavy into this, I have played a grand total of about an hour and a half of Mass Effect Andromeda, which... I did not start with one of the generic characters. I did customize characters because I really wanted to go through the character customization, which is deeper than 3. Not so deep that you would get completely lost in it, but deep enough that, you know, if you really like customization, you could very easily blow 40 minutes customizing your characters. Because the lead character in this game... can be either male or female, but it's one of a set of twins. And their writer is the last name. And you can choose the first name of whichever character you want. So you choose whether or not you want to be male or female. By default, your character's name is Sarah. If you pick a girl, I changed her name to Omara because whenever I get a chance to customize a character, the first thing I do is make her look like me. So I was like, skin tone, please! And they were like, here you go. And I did like the fact that there were a nice wide range of people of colored skin tones in the game to pick. So I actually was able to pick a tone close to my own tone, which is really nice, which is a nice mocha, just in case you're wondering. And I was able to, you know, get a nose similar to mine. And I will say that for the first time in a game that I played in a while, the braids, when you pick the braids, don't look so bad. They look decent, still not quite 100% right, but decent. And so I then went in, and you can choose whether or not you want to customize your twin as well, because your twin will play a part in the game later on in the game. And so, of course, I wasn't going to have Omara be there as a black chick and her twin brother be a white dude. So I went in and I fixed him. I made him I fixed him. In that, I was like, I need a brother that kind of looks like me. Not that interracial twins don't happen, because they do.
They do.
And that's awesome. But I wanted a pair of black characters because it's very rare that I get to have a game where I have two, hopefully, positive black figures as the lead. So I made my brother black.
Okay.
I gave him some cool face fuzz too. And as I often do, and I'm not exactly sure why, whenever I make black characters and I get the option to give them purple eyes, I do. So my characters have purple eyes. And what was really interesting for me is as you get into the game and you are on the ship, you wake up out of cryostasis. Whichever character you pick, there's an accident that keeps your sibling in stasis for a little while. So it's you venturing off with a delayed twin matchup happening later in the game. And find out that the Pathfinder, the one who is leading the Ark, which is the main ship that you're on that has 22 or 27,000 people. The font was a little difficult to read because I wasn't wearing my glasses. 27,000 people on board. What you are doing is you are plotting your way to a new planet. A bunch of research has been done, and the Pathfinder, the commander of the ship, who happens to be your father,
okay,
is leading everyone to the Golden Planet. There is this habitat that we found, Habitat 7, which we believe to be absolutely perfect for us to live on. The conditions were great. And we get there, and it's just like a page out of Star Trek. The whole system's fucked. The planet's fucked. It doesn't look anything like it used to. There's people of some kind on the planet. Shit's fucked. We gotta go down and check it out. We get into a thunderstorm on the way down, and our two shuttles get scuttled, So the initial mission is you're trying to track down everybody, see who survived, figure out what the hell is going on. And it's really the tutorial lesson to teach you how to scan things, because you have a built-in scanner. And so instead of probing planets, at least to this point, you're probing everything around you to find minerals and containers that you can open. And sometimes equipment is malfunctioning and you have to scan the equipment to find the malfunctioning piece to figure out how to fix it so it, like, doesn't blow up and kill you and shit. Because that's not a good time.
No one likes blowing up.
Nobody likes that shit. I will say that, you know, the visuals on the planets look gorgeous. You know, BioWare does environments well. My character suit also, up to snuff, looks fantastic. The camera, centering it, working it around, works fantastic. One issue that I had, which is different than any issue that I've seen anybody else have, is I keep getting a prompt whenever I take out my weapon to hold down my left stick if I want to holster it, and it never goes away, no matter how many times I do it. I end up having to, like, bring up my scanner instead to take myself out of shoot posture, because if you walk up on somebody who's maybe non-hostile, but you're in shoot posture, then they'll get in shoot posture, because obviously, well, you mean to do me harm, so I'm going to protect myself. So you really want to not be in your shooting stance unless you planning on shooting some ticks. I will say that, you know, story-wise, so far, things are being set up of, hey, we are humanity's last hope, very similar to every Mass Effect game I've ever had. It really will be about me kind of figuring out my skill sets, figuring out my way, and determining, you know, who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth, and whether or not I can be the savior, or me and my brother, can be the savior of people. Because I have a feeling something's going to happen to the Pathfinder, and we become the Pathfinder. What was really interesting to me was when I finally got to the point where I got to see my father, because I had made my characters darker skinned, both my brother and my main character, my father was generated in a way to look like he could be the father of my two characters. So, you know, I'd set for both my characters similar eye color. I'd set for them similar nose and cheek structure. And they had the same skin tone. My father was generated to have a nose that more heavily looked like my brother's, but cheekbones that look more heavily like mine. Same eye color as both my brother and I. So he generated with purple eyes. And I thought that that was really a great attention to detail, because it would be easy just to generate, you know, black dude. But to take the time to, you know, get those features right, you know, as far as lineage goes, tip of the hat to the BioWare team on that, because it's little details like that, you know, I picked up on it.
We appreciate you, BioWare.
Yeah, it means something. Like, I wasn't paying attention exactly to what he said, because I was like, wow, he's got my nose. Well, my brother's nose.
You are my daddy.
You know, and a whole bunch of gravitas. And as far as the animations go, I can definitely say that the mouth animations, when dialogue is being spoken, don't match up as well as they have in previous Mass Effect games. Okay, so there are times where you see characters talking and there's definitely, you know, a overstretch of cheek muscles, you know, that wouldn't happen when you were saying that word or making that sound. And I think it's noticeable now because we've had so many games on the last two generations of consoles, you know, this current generation and the previous ones, where they got it right, that I think it stands out more when it's not right, because we've gotten used to it looking right. We've gotten used to human characters that are supposed to be really one-to-one representations of how people really are, having those mouth movements correct and not having dead eye and not having, you know, pale skin tones, but having lighting effects on them that make them look like people. We've experienced what Quantum can do, right?
Right.
You know, we know what Detroit's going to look like.
And oh,
what
people do. Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? So we've gotten used to that standard, so I feel like when things aren't at that standard, we're like, what the fuck is this shit?
Right.
You know, it's kind of like when you went from 8-bit to 16-bit, and a new game, and you're playing, and you've been used to playing on a 16-bit system, and a new game came out that you've been waiting for, and it was 8-bit, and you look back at it, and you're like, dude, that doesn't even look like an elf. You can't even tell the pointy ear. Like, I feel like that's how it is. You know, the team at BioWare, who are great at communicating with people, have come out and said, hey, look, we've heard from the community about, you know, what they're talking about. What's currently up in EA access is the game as it will be day one with the day one patch, because there's a big old day one patch that they put out, and that, you know, he couldn't comment any further on any other changes coming in the game. I don't think that it's indicative of anything being massively wrong with the game, but it definitely is off, you know, and so I find myself, because I knew for the issues with the animation, looking for it. If I wasn't really looking for it that much, it probably wouldn't weigh on me as much. Right. But it is noticeable, and there's no way around saying it's not noticeable. Does it take away from the game that much? No, because at the core, the game is still an exploration space shooter. You shoot shit in space, blow it up. It's not a bad way to go. So, like I said, I'm an hour and a half into the game. I've explored quite a bit of Andromeda. You get rewarded for exploring. So, there is no straight linear path. Very much like in the previous games when you used to go out in the cruiser, you have a HUD that gives you markers on a map and...
Right, so what was, you know, critical goal pathing or what was, like, side stuff that you could be doing.
Right, so you have an identifier that's like, hey, here's a big thing on the map that you could, you know, head for. And you've got a compass that sits at the top of your HUD so you can see whether or not you are tracking towards that item or not. And then there are, you know, some side interesting things going on. And on your top right corner, your objective looks. And it puts your, you know, critical objective as well as optional objectives that are out there. And so just like in previous games, the more of the, you know, optional things that you do, the more rounded and more of the story that you get. I'm finding that, you know, in my playthrough right now, the optional stuff is leading me to people versus just the core person that I'm looking to find. And so I'm just getting lost right now in how good the world looks, because it is intricate and it looks very good. As gamers, we've gotten a little spoiled, and I think we've been so removed from the Mass Effect world for a while that it's easy to kind of forget that games like Destiny and Overwatch look the way they do now because of Mass Effect. Because Mass Effect really pushed the previous systems beyond what they could do. Like, remember, Mass Effect 2 and 3 were multi-disc games.
Yep.
Because they were big.
Yes, they were.
Because their graphics were big. Andromeda is a 41 gig download. Ooh. With more to come. Previous discs held 50 gigs on a disc. So Andromeda would be a single disc game right now. So that should tell you that, you know, that there are some things that are a little bit different. And again, because it is so open and it is really put on you to explore the world, not necessarily so much exploring the galaxy, at least as far as I'm into right now, you know, it is much more about that exploration and searching things and combining things and really working on your skill set. You know, one of the things that I like is that, you know, as you continue on in the game, you get skill points, you know, just like you do in pretty much every other action game. But once you pick a skill, you're not stuck with that skill. You can reallocate points and basically return that skill and use those points towards something else. So you really can try different skill sets, which give you different perks and whatnot, to see what works best for your gameplay. You have difficulty levels that range from narrative to insane. And narrative is, okay, there's, like, barely any difficulty at all to the combat. It really is just about experiencing the story. It takes far fewer shots to land to actually take out the few enemies that pop up. Versus, you know, as you start trending towards the insane, it takes more resources, more headshots to take out enemies. And so you really can play it your way. You have different skills that you can pick from that will give you different buffs. So previously in, you know, Mass Effect games, you could go the biotic route, which gave you different buffs. You could go the security route, which made you really more adept with weapons. In this game, there's a leader route. There's the healer medic route. So all those things still exist. And then your responses have gone from not just Paragon and Renegade, you're good and you're bad, but they also have emotional tinges to them, and that kind of frames how your character is perceived in the game. So there's logical versus emotional. So as an example, when you land on a planet, you look at the world and it's not looking like it did from the brochures, your emotional reaction is, we can't go there, that looks bad, versus your, something's gone wrong. We need to figure out what it is. You know, so whether you're more logical and more emotional in your responses will change how different characters interact with you, and dialogue trees that become available to you later in the game as you react with people. And so, again, it's still as thoughtful and deep as Mass Effect has ever been, but it is really new and for them. And I do feel like it very much was designed in a way to step away from Shepard. But at the same time, one of the items that you get to pick in character customization is what the base of history, the historic knowledge is. And the question is whether Shepard was male or female.
What?
So, yeah. Because in the lore, think about it. Because this takes place, you know, some 600 years or more from when Shepard passed away. People are talking about exploring space and humans specifically being able to get around. They're going to be talking about the Shepard. So is Shepard? The Shepard male or is the Shepard female? Kind of matters in the telling of the story. So, of course, I was like, Femshep all day, every day. But I haven't gotten to a point yet where we've talked about Shepard. So,
do you think that they are going to pull from...
No, I don't... If anything, it may be like... From a storytelling perspective, when someone's talking about history, they might be talking about a battle or something, and, you know, maybe there's a reference, but Shepard is dead, not playable, does not exist in this.
No, but, like, do you think, like, they'll pull from your file, and, like, if you find a record or some type of tape or something that shows, and, like, they actually show you your character again?
I don't know,
again.
But that would be fucking dope if they did.
Like, if they're able to pull that history from, like, your data files... And, like, be able to recall it and give your Femme Shep, like, a fresh coat of paint.
I don't know if they can unless you have played the backwards compatible on current console. Because saves from 360 didn't work on X1.
So, it would be a nice little
Mass
surprise.
Mass Effect is backwards compatible, but only if you put in the disc. So, if you played, possibly, ME3 as backwards compatible on your X1, and you had an X1 save of the backwards compatible version... Maybe. But if you only play it on 360, and so the only save that you have is your cloud save, I don't know that they could do that. It would be cool if they did, though, because I would love to see a flashback with my Shepard. That would be so amazing, but I don't think the technology is
there.
Well, it's okay. I guess it's there, but to spend the time to do that for something so small might be a little bit more than what they wanted to do for launch. But hey, who knows what the DLC will bring, right?
Right.
You know, weapons, again, you know, stay cool, blasters, charge shots, you got a shield, don't take too much damage, use your cover. Those mechanics have not changed, but I haven't been able to get deep enough into the story yet to tell you whether or not the story is as engaging as, you know, my last two outings, really, with Mass Effect, because I really was brought into the story at 2. 1 was okay, but 2 really, like, got me and made me a massive fan. And then 3 just, like, sealed the deal for me. You know, I don't know yet how the story will grab me or not, because I'm just not deep enough yet. But I've had a couple of characters in my party introduced to me. I haven't met any new aliens yet, except for the ones that I ended up fighting. What's interesting is that from the trial, you can upload the characters that you create to what is called the Mass Effect Archive, which means that you can then bring them down into the real game, the full game, if you do get the full game, or you can bring them down into, I think, multiplayer as well, because you can also have an option to import, which allows you to bring characters that you've put up into that space down. So I think there's going to be a lot of replay value, because customization is huge for people. So what I will say is right now, I'm glad that I did the trial of the game. Where I sit right now in doing the trial, I probably won't buy Andromeda. Like, unless something goes really, really hanky within the next few hours of my gameplay, I just don't see myself not playing this game. And that's before I even jump to multiplayer. Not to say that the criticisms that I've seen so far about the animations aren't warranted. I do think that some of them are, but I don't think that it's like a killer for the game. So far, I'm having fun in the game. Hey, anytime I can give BioWare some money, I'm happy to, because I love what they produce. So that's what I have to say about Mass Effect.
All right. Well, I mean, I have not played the game, but I mean, I have been hearing the buzz of those douchebags who have been harassing female employees of BioWare with misinformation. And I mean, we just came off of
PAX. Well, be careful, because it's not female employees. I think I know what you're talking about, and it's one particular person. And BioWare has not actually confirmed that that person worked for them.
But you hear the buzz, and you come off of places like PAX East where, like, no one was really being douchey. Like, clearly, a lot of people who were there, who are gamers, like, no one was
trying. It was a positive vibe. It was a positive community vibe. A very strong
exactly. So, like, you come off of this high, happy feel to then, once again, to the alternative facts and the doom and gloom of reality, and you're just like, ugh, like, you're tainting all my happy good feels, bro. The story, as it's, I have seen documentation of it, is that these select people, generally I think they have been male, who are kind of like the remnants of the Gamergate male agenda.
It's a couple of douches from Reddit.
Yeah. Who have been aggressively, verbally attacking a female employee who works for BioWare, claiming that, you know, like, blaming her for the poor facial and, like, the animations of the face.
All right, let's take a step back. So, in particular, this one dude did some digging and found reference to this one person who had done some promotional stuff for BioWare and also, in some capacity, worked at BioWare. Naming that person as the lead on the graphics, and that's why they're so messed up, because that person was so much more focused on doing cosplay as opposed to actually working on the animations. BioWare came out and specifically released a letter and said, hey, first and foremost, we don't appreciate anybody harassing anybody.
Well, I have the actual address. So this came from Aaron Flynn from BioWare, who I think is the general manager.
Yes.
Recently, a former EA employee was misidentified as a lead member of the Mass Effect Andromeda development team. These reports are false. We respect the opinions of our players and community and welcome feedback on our games. But attacking individuals, regardless of their involvement in the project, is never acceptable. End quote.
And so these are the big important things that I took away from that. Number one, they said EA employee, not BioWare employee.
BioWare.
Number two, they said harassing anybody, regardless of whether they worked on the project or not, is unacceptable. Thank you, BioWare, because that's true. You don't harass somebody because you don't like something in a game. You can file your complaints with customer service. You can get in forums and say, hey, guys, this isn't working. Make it better. But you don't harass people. And number three, you don't specifically pick somebody out who's female and go after them for being a female in the industry and citing them as something that they're not. Okay? You do your research. You understand who works on what. And you go through the right chains to lodge a complaint. So this is just a douche who's trying to keep Gamergate alive, which is just toxic for the freaking community, and is wrong. Okay, this person was not in charge of the graphics.
And this is not the first time that BioWare has had to, you know, issue statements about harassment of employees.
Yep.
I want to say there was somebody who was working on or was involved in Dragon Age. I think it was for Origins and 2, I think is what she did. And she was a writer. And she was doing some interview, I think it was back in, like, I want to say, like, the comments she made, I think, were, like, in 2006. And she was being interviewed about, like, the type of work that she does. And she just said, very much like we have said on this show, that I feel like one of the strongest components of a game is its story over game mechanics. Like, I am drawn to a narrative faster than I am how the game plays. Now, I mean, if both of them have, you know, a symbiotic relationship that, you know, blends together like, you know, butter melting on Eggos, well, sign me up. Like, but I will take away a story and how it has affected me on an emotional level better than or faster than how good the game felt to play. And because she said that, granted, she's a writer, so yeah, okay, I can see why she would say that. Guys were attacking her on Twitter, like, all over the place, and were hacking into emails and, like, making this girl's life a living hell just because of a belief she had with her experience. And it's shit. It's just complete shit.
Yep, it is. And, I, you know, it's very rare that I get on my soapbox and get real preachy-preachy, but I gotta get real preachy-preachy here. Because I'm quite sick and tired of women being picked on in the gaming community by, and let me be very clear, a small segment of the community.
Right. Yes.
I'm tired of people of color being picked on by again, small segment of the community. But the fact of the matter is, it continues to happen, and there continues to be little to no consequence for these actions that are taken on people. Now, I want to be very clear. Everybody's entitled to your opinion. I have an opinion. I share it on a podcast every week.
I have an opinion.
And you guys sometimes agree, and you guys sometimes don't agree. But what I love when you don't agree is that you always come at us with the reasons why you don't agree, and you back it up, and we have a great discussion about it sometimes. Sometimes it even makes it into a podcast because I'm so moved by your arguments that we share them and we do a whole episode where we end up just talking through this one point that somebody brought up that we really mulled over. I love that. Keep doing that. But harassing people and degrading people because you didn't enjoy their work, or in a case like this, not their work, and just using it as an excuse to be like, look, there's a fucking chick, and they don't know how to game anymore, and they can't make games. All they can do is sit and look pretty, and they're doing too much work on their cosplay versus, like, actually making real games.
They need to go back to kitchens and make sandwiches, because we're hungry.
Please, can we get beyond that? So what I ask people to do is just champion gamers, whether they're short, fat, tall, purple, pink, brown, white, yellow, got boobs, don't got boobs, want boobs, got boobs, and others. Just champion this community. Champion the people that make games. Whether they're great games or not, they still put in work to make it happen. Okay, they still had a creative vision. They had a story that they wanted to tell. They spent hours upon hours upon hours making these games. And so that's why I work really hard not to say that a game is shit. Because it's somebody's labor of love. It's somebody's culmination of a whole bunch of hard work. So if nothing else, hey, it's okay. It's good for a good outing. Like, these are the things that I like. These are the things that could be better. Be constructive in your criticism. I'm not saying don't have a criticism. Critique like a mofo. Okay, I love to critique myself. You're about to see us start doing a whole bunch of video, guys, where we are critiquing the shit out of shit. And it's just our humble opinion. But what you won't see is us just shit all over something because we can. The world right. doesn't need it. The community doesn't need it. So if there are things that you don't like about a game or that don't work, definitely share your opinion. That's what forums are for. You have the ability to reach out to customer service now on social, directly to a game, to a pub, to a dev, and say, hey, this isn't working. And I think if you did something like this, it could be better. And the community would love it so much more. Constructive criticism. That's what this community needs. But we need to champion each other. I'm so tired of a small segment that just happens to be very loud continuing to get away with bad behavior. We're better than this. We're so much better than this. And how do I know? Because I spent a weekend with you guys last weekend, and we were better than this. Okay? Last weekend at PAX, it was the first time that I walked the hallways, and there were more chicks than dudes at the event, and there was much more cosplay at the event, and there were way, way more people of color at the event, and not a single freaking issue. Not one. Okay? Nope. Not a single story of any issues with consent and cosplay. Not a single story of anybody, especially in, you know, the current environment, okay? Not a single story of anybody being called by any slanderous names or anything. So I know we're better than this. So I'm not going to talk about this topic anymore other than to say, I think if you have EA access, do yourself a favor, try Mass Effect Andromeda before the game comes out. Determine if you actually want to drop coin on it, because there are a bunch of bundles. There's a deluxe bundle that's a bit more, that gives you like some extra buffs and some extra weapons at the start. There's the super deluxe, which is like $100, which I guess gives you a bunch of weapons and stuff for multiplayer. And then just the regular $60 package. I will more than likely continue to play it. I don't know if I'll get the deluxe or the super deluxe yet, but I will more than likely continue to play the game on X1, and I'm really going to be focused on the single-player story, but who knows? I might get into multiplayer. Maybe you can convince me. I don't think you can, but that's what I got to say on this front. I'm glad that I gave it a shot, and I didn't just kind of write it off like I originally had planned to, because I think I would have missed out on an experience. So that's where I sit right now on Andromeda. As I get further into the game, as it, you know, comes out this week, and I can play more past the EA access time, I will let you know how it works out on the next episode of our podcast. So it's time to do the business.
Time.
We are out of time. So if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure that you visit our site, electricsisterhood.com, and add us to your bookmarks so that you can check out all the stuff that we're writing about throughout the week. The entire team posts news and reviews on the website every day, so make sure that you hit it up, electricsisterhood.com. Subscribe to our feed. Subscribe to our podcast. You can do it right there from our homepage. You can get our podcast in iTunes either on the desktop or through the podcast application on your iOS device by searching for the Eshcast and subscribing. You can also get it in Stitcher Radio, Google Play. You can find us on VogNetwork.com as well as some other amazing shows on the network. And pretty much anywhere you can find podcasts, you will find the Eshcast. If you enjoy our show and the stuff that we write about on our website, which includes video games, anime, manga, just general nerdery, then make sure that you check out all the other great shows and sites that are part of the Esh family. That starts with No Borders, No Race, the podcast hosted by our homeboy King Baby Duck over at B3Crew.com. If it's indie, if it's fun, if it's avant-garde, then KBD is talking about it at B3Crew.com. So make sure that you bookmark his site and get his podcast, which goes out every week, in iTunes as well. If you enjoy games, both retro and new, then make sure that you check out SmashRook.com, helmed by the one and the only Hamsterman2049, who streams every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern on Twitch, twitch.tv/Hamsterman2049, playing all kinds of games. I loved watching him play Psychonauts. You should definitely check out his stream every Wednesday night, 9 Eastern. So much fun. Join in chat. Watch him play. Suggest games that he should try and put up on the stream for the next week and the next show and the next and the next. Speaking of the next, make sure that you check out Phil the Issues Guy at issuesprogram.com with Phil's recap and review. It is absolutely phenomenal. I just started watching his Vikings recaps, and even though I don't watch the show, it makes me want to watch the show. So it's totally funny, totally random, and yet informative. So make sure that you check out Phil's recap and review on YouTube. You can check his archive out at issuesprogram.com. You can call in, be part of the recaps live, join him in chat. It's absolutely stunning and amazing. You have to check out Phil's show. And last but certainly not least, our homies over at nerdcrave.com, run by the one and the only, the friend of all friends, Louis Hendricks. The team over there is absolutely phenomenal. They do anime, manga, comic books, video games, all the nerd stuff, everything that you crave in one spot, nerdcrave.com. So bookmark all of our sites, check out all of our shows. There's even more to come. And as always, you can engage with us on our social. We'd love it if you'd give us a like and a follow and a subscribe. So check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/electricsisterhood, on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh, and on Twitter and Instagram at ESHnews. Ask us questions, comment on the stuff that we post, share us with your friends, let us know if there are games that you'd like us to try or to review, or if there's anything that you want us to take a look at, including anime or manga-wise, and we will give you a shout-out if we do it on the show. So that's it for the business. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And until next time,
see you guys later.
Titties.
Titties.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel. So I told her softly and sincere, and she leaned and whispered in my ear. Cuddling more and driving slow, with no particular place to go. Place to go. So we parked way out on the Kokomo. The night was young and the moon was gold. So we both decided to take a stroll. Can you imagine the way I felt? I couldn't unfasten a safety belt. Riding along in my collar blues, still trying to get her belt to loose. All the way home I held a grudge for the safety belt that wouldn't budge. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.